Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. I'd like to take a few moments if the books have already been passed out, which I think they have, if you will register your attendance with us this morning. Our announcements this morning, there's a lot of announcements printed in the bulletin. If you take time to look at those and see all the activities, I'll mention that today is the plays. Both the youth and the children's plays are this afternoon. I think the first one starts at 5 p.m. And anything else, Larry, on those?
Maybe Susan can tell a little bit about plays or Kelly and Kim.
Melanie?
The first announcement is one to extend a welcome to our guest musicians. And you'll hear more from Daniel and from Addie later. And during our service, their friends have captured their phone calls. They're just excited that. Announcement is that community choir cantata practice is here for the first time today at this church where it will be beginning next week. But we're practicing today at 2 o'clock, unless you're all listening for a solo, and then at 1 o'clock here. So we'll be at the choir at 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Same choir practice, meeting tonight at the Methodist Church, and choir rehearsal on Saturday morning with breakfast, and everybody and all musicians. And I encourage everybody to not hesitate to put it on your calendar either for 3 o'clock or 7 o'clock next Sunday. There's community of about, I think, 6 different churches represented, multiple musicians, including the Handel Choir from St. Edward Catholic Church in Nashville. We'll be here. The dog choir should be about 50-some members and 20-some members of the choir. So it'll be an exciting gathering of our community.
Anyone else? Any announcements? Susan? Ms. Carroll.
Friday evening, I was watching TV and I saw this man came on and I said, oh, that man was at our church Sunday. I listened and they said he had been going to churches and going to women's purses and stealing their money. He did show up here last Sunday morning. He claimed to be, we don't know who he really was, he claimed to be Michael Phillips. I forgot his name, wrote it on my hand and washed my hand and lost it. But Jim Baker remembered it was Michael Phillips. And he had on a denim jacket. He was receding hairline on each side with a kind of a good patch of hair here. And nice acting guy. Some of us talked to him. I think Jerry talked to him. Who else may have talked to him? He came in the gymnasium. John talked to him. Sam talked to him. All I could figure out, he said we didn't have enough money for him to bother with, so he took off. He did get on the telephone and talk to somebody or act like he was and said that they were having car trouble and he had to go help them. It was cold and their car wouldn't start or something. So I looked for him in worship. He's not here this morning, is he? Is Michael here this morning? If you are, get saved, man, and quit stealing from women. Okay. That's not true, because he did say, I mean, I'm not, Jerry may have said that, but the story is that somebody said, and this is our preacher. He said, I figured that out. So I said, how did you figure that out? He said, well, you took charge. Well, I didn't know that. But
any other announcements? There is one, if anyone interested in the poinsettias, I think you said write it on a card and drop it in the offering plate.
Right, that's good. Who in memory or honor of, and who it's from, and are there some blanks in the back?
Okay. Prayer and praise requests.
Prayer
better.
Last time we had our classical concert, a night of fellowship, which turned to be a worship night. Preparing ourselves for Advent of our Lord. And I just wanted to thank all listeners, our dear listeners, and participants, musicians, and Melanie, who was as crazy as I am. We were dreaming about that event, and she would leave the church with me sometimes after midnight getting ready for this concert. And I just wanted to say thank you so much. We didn't want to share the burden of preparing for this concert with Melanie because it's a stressful time, so many events are going on. But thank you, everybody, who helped us to open house, and beginning with strong men moving this COVID back and forth, and also with Ruth, who was babysitting. Emilia, thank you so much. And all musicians and everybody. You mentioned it was a good Christmas day for me personally, and was a good beginning of Christmas. Thank you.
Any other prayer requests, praise requests? Mike.
We pray for the family of Woody Butler. We gave his life today to bring him to be here today. Please pray for the family of Woody Butler.
Anyone else? This time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow your heads for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. At this time, we will have a congressional meeting for the purpose of elder election.
See, that's congregational. Instead of congressional, we don't do
okay.
That's all right. Let's offer prayer. Lord God, we need your light for congregational meetings and congressional meetings, and we need your light for worship, but for living. Thank you for being in our midst. In Christ's name, amen. Steve is out of town visiting his mom and needs somebody to take notes. Who would take notes? It would be very short to say we met, we prayed. A session member would take notes. We've got one? Okay, right here. Thought somebody would volunteer. they will not be able to read my writing if I wrote it down. Congregational meeting. We meet for the purpose of electing the elders who were nominated last week. It's kind of a moot question since there were no additional nominations last week, but we need to go through the process also to give you opportunity as members of a corporation, since we incorporated a number of years ago, give you opportunity to bring up any other business that you might want to bring before the congregation. The nominees have been presented last week and could we hear again who the nominations are. Teresa, do you remember them? We'd be able to do that. It's all in the bulletin, but we want to announce them. Sherry Windrow, I'll help her out here. Sherry Windrow served the unexpired term of Vicki Sullivan. And so she was eligible for a re-election. The session nominated her for a 3-year term. They next nominated David England for a 3-year term. And they nominated Jim Baker for a 3-year term. And those are the nominees. And nominations closed last Sunday. But we need to go through the process of electing this morning. Do we hear a motion that we proceed with the election?
I think that would be in order.
I move that they should be elected.
A second to that motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Jim and David and Sherry are elected to 3-year terms on the session. We will plan an installation, ordination and installation service for sometime after the first of the year. And the present elders will serve until such time as we get these new elders installed as official members of the session. Is there other business to come before the congregation at this time? I'll give you more than one opportunity. Is there any business to come before the congregation at this time? One more time. Is there any business to come before the congregation at this time? Sufficient opportunity has been offered. I observe that there is no further business to come before the congregation at this time. I guess you are trusting the session to conduct your business, and rightly so. That's what you elected them for, and we would hear a motion that this congregation or meeting come to a close. Is there a second to that motion? All in favor say aye. Thank you, Lord. We trust that you have been in the nomination process and the election process, and now we trust, O Lord, that you will continue with your church, that we might bring glory to you in all that we say and do, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. Our call to worship this morning is responsive and is printed in your bulletin. Please join with me. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
In accordance with God's promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home.
The wolf shall dwell with the lamb.
The leopard shall lay down with the kid.
The calf and the lion and the fatling together.
And a little child shall lead them.
Let's all stand now and turn in our hymnals to hymn 125, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is God. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And the heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. From fields and floods, from hills and plain, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. And sorrows grow, no thorns in past the ground. He comes to remain, His mercy is flown. Far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound. He the world in truth and grace, and makes the nations groan. The Lord is all His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
You join me for prayer. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus to bring joy to your creation, a creation that had found itself or that found itself deep in sin. Lord, we thank you that He came to redeem us, that through Him that we could find forgiveness and we could find that we're on the road to eternity in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we thank you that we can be a part of your kingdom here on earth, and we pray that you will enable us to be faithful participants or faithful citizens of this earthly portion of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we know that you are the ruler of all creation, and we pray that you will help those who are honoring you and are serving you to make this message known throughout all of your people's everywhere, every tribe and every nation. Thank you, Lord, that we could come apart this morning to worship in truth and in spirit. Thank you for your presence with us. And Lord, thank you that you're not just with us, but through your Spirit, you're abiding in the congregations and the hearts of the people wherever they meet in your name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here, especially though today. And speak to each of us as we need to hear from you. Lord, you know better than we what message we need, and we entrust that to you. And Lord, whether it be a song, whether it be a verse of Scripture, or whether it be just a greeting from a friend, use all of us to share your joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, praying now, even as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May we remain standing and put into words that which we believe as we state our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
Please join with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our call to confession this morning is from Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of the future,
you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule.
We confess that we have not expected your kingdom, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool.
Turn in your hymnals again, please, to hymn 124, right across the page if you kept your place. Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus.
Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from
this morning. You know, God has really blessed me with Sunny Catherine and the Daniel Pentecost, and I've really had a wonderful weekend with the Birdsong family, and I know they're just a blessing to your church, and I'm just very happy to be here this morning, and thank you very much.
children's time now with Miss Andrea, and the children will stay in the sanctuary today.
I believe they're going to practice. They're not. They're going. The children will. Children will stay in the sanctuary. We're confused. Break down and communicate.
Thank you.
Our offertory sentence today comes from Acts. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Turn now, if you will, please, to hymn 145 in the Renew Hymnal. It's called Sanctuary. We're going to do that through twice.
185.
Excuse me, 145 is the last one.
185.
185, like I said. 185 in the Renew. Most of us don't need it. But anyway, Sanctuary. We're going to do it the second time, a cappella, or Acapulco, as some of you pronounce that. Anyway, so if we'll do it without the music the second time through. And I would just like to say about these young folks, two things. It's not fair because you're so young. And it's not fair because you can sing like that and play like that, okay? I've been singing for a few years. And I can't do that. I got a lot more practice than you. Oh, I'll never sing O Holy Night again. Thank you very much. Another round. We're truly blessed today and blessed at this time of the year, and we need to turn ourselves into sanctuaries for our God.
sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Our scripture lesson today will be read by Leanne Justice.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Malachi 3, 1-4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. And also from Matthew 22, 1-3 and 11-14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendant, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you all. It's a blessing to be here this morning from from my vantage point. Not because I'm preaching, but because of that's part of it, but because of the many blessings that we've already received. The Advent season. We've been taken right to the throne of grace this morning for Advent, but how are you doing in your private Advent preparations? The second week in the season of Advent, 4 weeks before Christmas, the 4 Sundays before Christmas, the beginning with the Sunday nearest St. Andrew Day, November the 30th, a time of getting ready to celebrate the birth of the Savior. The passage from Malachi was trying to get the people of Israel ready to celebrate, or to maybe to receive the Savior, so they could be restored as they were in former days. In Advent, we remember the first coming of Jesus, but we also anticipate his second coming. The message in the book of Malachi is not just for the first coming of Jesus. It truly speaks to the second coming also. I invite you to read it and then read it again. He will come to receive his people into his heavenly kingdom that he has prepared for them. That includes you, if you're a person of faith, you who are people of faith, and that includes me being a person of faith. More than one person expressed a desire that I preach longer last Sunday. No, they expressed a desire that I comment at least a sentence or two about the passage from Matthew. The man who came to the wedding feast and was thrown out. He had been invited to the great feast, but he came and he wasn't welcomed. Since I didn't do it last week, let me go with that thought today. Thinking this is getting us ready for Jesus to come that second time. When there will be a wedding and a feast between Jesus, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride. So it's very appropriate, even in the midst of the season of Advent. Go back to the 60s with me, if you will. Late 50s, early 60s, to El Dorado, Arkansas. Why would you want to go there? That's where this story happened. A great little community in south central Arkansas, close to Louisiana, and the pastor of the church was doing a great job, and the congregation was really, it was a new church, and they were growing and reaching some lives, one of three Presbyterian churches in that small town. But the pastor chastised a young man, a high school student, for wearing blue jeans to church. Now remember, this was late 50s, early 60s, some time ago. Three preachers later, I arrived on the scene and knew about this young man. He was late 20s, early 30s during my tenure there. I tried to reach out to him. His family was in the church, and I tried to reach out and get this young man and his family in the church. And I ministered to him in many ways, even through the death of his wife for a ruptured appendix before she was 30, and we ministered to him. But get this young man to be a part of the congregation, it just didn't happen. He wouldn't go. And his excuse was, when he was a teenager, he was active in the church, in the youth group, but the pastor at that time had criticized him for coming to church in blue jeans and instructed him that to come to church, he ought to wear dress pants, or Sunday breeches, as we used to call them, or church clothes, that blue jeans were not appropriate. Was the young man justified in his thinking and his action that followed that thinking? No. But was the preacher justified? Was he correct? Was he right into challenging that young man? He thought he was, but he wasn't. He really wasn't. He was wrong. Wrong. In the 70s, I was asked a question about women wearing pants to church. You remember the 60s, women did not wear pants. You women who were alive at that time, women wore dresses to church in the 60s. Is that right? The 50s before that. In the early 70s, I was still at the El Dorado Church, women began to wear pants. They started out going to funerals and wearing pants suits. Nice, well made, appropriate in any setting for women to wear. Were they allowed at church? Our church, some people were wearing some pants. The question was asked by people in my church where I was pastor. It was God's church where I happened to be working. And by others, what do you think of these women wearing pants to church? Something else was going on in the fashion world in the early 70s. And so my comment was, they are a lot more appropriate in church than these miniskirts. Okay? Usually that would stop the conversation. And I think about that time the hot pants came along, and I don't remember seeing them in church, but that was good that we didn't see them. Days of hats. Some of you remember back further than that, when women didn't go to church without a hat. And I was in college, and I was friends with the dean's daughter and her friends and the dean's wife, Mrs. Elizabeth Burroughs. She could not stand it when her daughter and her daughter's friends went to church without a hat. She would rather than stay at home, I really believe. And she would rant and rave, and they would just laugh at her. She was so serious. One of the sweetest ladies you would ever meet. Oh, I think we all loved her, those other students that were there when we were there. Gloria, you may have been one of those that refused to wear a hat to church, even at Bethel College, or you may have worn one. But Gloria was there and Tommy was there at that time. But the girls just rebelled. Maybe they were rebelling against sweet Miss Burroughs, but she was great, but she left. Now, we've got all hung up on clothing. The pulpit wear. I wear a suit. Have you noticed I wear a suit every Sunday? And I don't think at this church I've ever preached in a sport coat and slacks, as they call it. I always wear a suit. Maybe I do that because Reverend S.T. Byers was in the hot, sweltering Mississippi summer. He was sweating. We had a fan blowing on him. And somebody said, "Brother Byers, take off your coat." And Brother Byers said, "I never read where Jesus took off his coat, so I'm not going to take off mine." I think it was a totally different situation. So whatever, that had an impression on me, and I've never forgotten it. But this tie here now, I wouldn't normally wear it, but I went to a party Saturday night. All of you were invited, and a good many showed up, and the Garys bought a gift, and I happened to get their gift. And I picked it, and it had a walking stick in it, and a disposable diaper disposal bag, and a necktie that makes little noises, and the note in it said I had to wear one of them to church this Sunday morning. So I didn't know how to wear a walking stick or how to wear that diaper disposal bag, so I wore the necktie. But thank you, Gary. Okay, so I would have worn a better tie. I don't think it will tie but about one time, though. I think it's that kind of material, like your disposable graduation gown. You know, they don't last very long. But anyhow, now, I believe that a preacher ought to wear a suit when he preaches. But if he chooses not to, that's okay. I'm not quite as well dressed, though, as Brother T.D. Jakes. Have you seen him? My goodness, the best dressed preacher in the world, I guess. He is decked out. His coat even comes way down to here, or somewhere along there, and I can't even begin to come up with him. But I got other friends who preach a flowery shirt, a very casual shirt, shirt tails out, and comes out very casual. They get the message over, and that's okay with me. It just happens to be my choice to wear a suit, maybe because of that early upbringing. But if the preacher wants to come in with an open collar and no tie, that's okay with me too. Okay? I'm for it. And I believe that God honors it all. I've seen it happen. But what about the man in the parable? Well, let me back up to say, making a big issue out of clothes is like making a big issue out of whether we eat meat or not. And I think 99% of us are meat eaters. And you turn to Romans 14 and see what Paul says about that. Some people were making a great issue out of the Christians eating meat. And Paul says, you've got other things to worry about, folks. And basically, we've got other things to worry about than the outward appearance of the clothing. What about this man in the parable? What was Jesus telling in this parable when the man got thrown out then, if clothes is not the issue? He came and he was not wearing the wedding clothes, so he was tied up and cast aside. Well, I've printed, and then William Barclay affirms what I said. William Barclay says that this parable has nothing to do with clothing, outward clothing, but it has everything to do with the spirit in which we come to God's house, or the spirit in which we hope to be in a part of God's kingdom. And Barclay goes on to say that these are garments of the mind and of the heart and of the soul. And he lists four. He says the garments that we need to in the house of God, the garments we need to be in the kingdom of God, are the garments of, one, expectation. Expecting God to speak to us. Expecting God to do something in our midst. Expecting God maybe to ask us to do something and to enable us to do something. The garments of faith. Trust. We come with a heart of faith and a soul of faith open to believe Jesus in what He says. The garments of reverence. The garments of reverence. And then the garments of humble penitence. We try to put that in the worship service. The garment of faith. We try to have a place where we express our faith and remind ourselves through the creed what it is that we believe as Christians. And as we say it again, it says, oh yeah, we believe this. We're people of faith. Maybe we don't need that, but maybe some do. We have that humble penitence. We do that through the prayer of confession. We give you opportunity to come before God and sit before Him and humbly confess your sins, my sins, before God, that we're not as we should be. And we come, hopefully, with the expecting God to do something, to say something to us. And then we come in a spirit of reverence when we come into God's house. Nothing to do with the clothing that we have on the outside, but it needs to be decent. It needs to be reverent clothing. Clothing that you wouldn't mind your mama seeing you in. Or your grandmama seeing you in. Now, what about as we wait for the coming of Jesus? I'm going to try to take 3 minutes, and I think it's 6 points I need to make. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 19. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 19. I didn't list the points here, but you can go and read it. Paul is writing to the Ephesian churches and telling how they, as Christian people, need to be dressed. You know, the Amish Mennonites, they took a 17th century, a 16th or 17th century garment and thought that was the one that Jesus approved of and all that He approved of. So they all dressed like the people did in the 16th or 17th century and expect everybody to. But what does Jesus care if we got buttons or thread, even thread in our garment, or straight pins to hold it together? That could be very uncomfortable, the straight pins, could they not? If they got loose and stuck you. But some people get so hung up on this. But Paul says that Christians ought to have the belt of truth. And where he got this, he looked at the Roman soldier that he was attached to wrist. And he had to live with that soldier. So he looked at that garment that the soldier had. He said, I could make a sermon out of that. He said, Christians, this soldier has on a belt. You need a belt on. You need to be wrapped around with truth. You need to be encircled with truth. You need to be people of truth. That's the kind of garment that the Christian needs. And then he says you need a breastplate of righteousness. You need to be covered with righteousness. And then he says you need to have sandals on your feet or shoes on your feet as a sign of one equipped to move and ready to move, eager to be on the way to preach the gospel and to share the gospel with others. And then he said, folks, you need a shield. A shield. Not just a little short shield, that was a breastplate-like thing, but a whole body-covering shield. And we see them in battle on the movies where they're metal. But Paul tells us about a shield, and Barclay says it's a wooden shield that's very soft wood. It was in two pieces, and it was glued together, and when the enemy started throwing darts, pitch-covered, or tar, we call it tar, tar-covered darts that were set on fire and hurled at the individual, they could have this big body-sized shield that the dart would stick in, and the material in that shield was of such a composition that the fire of the dart would go in there and it would extinguish the fire. So they needed a shield to protect them from the fiery darts that was
thrown at them. A defensive weapon. Because as a Christian, there will be insults hurled at us. The great oblong shield was a weapon to quench the darts that were thrown at them. Barclay says these are maybe the darts of temptation that we each have to deal with. The darts of temptation. And then he says, for a helmet. The soldier had a helmet. He said, for a helmet, you need salvation. You know, that needs to be over the top. You can't be well dressed for the kingdom of God. You can't get into the kingdom of God unless you're saved. Need that over you. That symbolizes the whole body, the head. Need to be saved. The helmet of salvation. And then he says, you need a sword. The soldier had a sword. And he said, you need the Word of God. The Word of God as your sword. Number one, to defend yourself with. Number two, to reach out against sin in the world. To fight sin in the world. And finally, he says, cover your whole self with prayer. With prayer. I think if we take, I'm convinced, if we take that, those garments listed here in Ephesians 6:10, that we will be welcome at the wedding feast where Jesus comes and marries His church. The song is 145. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Lord, I want to be prepared. Lord, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. And I'm asking you to sing verse 1 and 2 and 4. 1 and 2 and 4. And maybe you have a desire, a feeling that God would have you come to put on the helmet of salvation this morning. Or maybe you would desire that this congregation pray with you. You know, be wrapped up in prayer. Actually, I could never guess what your need is, but you know what it is. And you, if you need to come here to this communion table, this altar area, as we often call it, please come as we sing, Lord, I want to be a Christian, and present yourself to the Lord. And He says, whoever comes to Him, He will in no wise turn aside. He will welcome you into His arms, into His family. Let us sing together. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord God, I thank you for this. Thank you for His devotion to you and trust in you. Thank you for loving Jesus. And Jamie's extended family. There's some difficulties, and he just says, folks, wrap me up in prayer. So part of us will sing, but the rest of us just pray. Right now. Let's sing the last stanza now.
somebody who wants to